today, I want to apologize to one of my sons already. You know, last time I had 3 points, they all started with the same letter, and so one of my sons, he struggles with English too, I think. Today's sermon has 4 points, and they all start with the same word, because I can't usually come up with something that starts with the same letter. I figured this out several years ago. He was playing this game. He is the son that has the shortest name, by the way. Neither one of us have mastered this thing of English. But he was playing a game with some adults and some friends, and they were, Bob, you may have been there. They say, well, I'm thinking of a letter, or I'm thinking a word that starts with a letter. And they'll say, well, I'm thinking of a word that starts with the letter T. And everybody goes around and they guess what the letter is, you know, what the word is. And, you know, finally somebody will guess whatever he was thinking, you know, toy or whatever it was. Yeah, that's right. So it became his turn, and he said, I'm thinking of something that starts with an R. I mean, everybody guessed. Nope, that's not it. Nope. Nope, nobody could guess what it is. And finally we just said, well, what is it? He said, Army. So, son, I'm sorry. I'm the reason. Well, today's sermon has 4 points. And I'm going to give them to you before I show you this video. I got a video for you. And I'm not trying to insult your intelligence with what you know. It's a cartoon video. I like it. That doesn't mean you'll like it. But I hope that it brings these verses into context. Our text today comes from 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 15. And the title of the sermon today, Andy, he put me on the spot this morning as I got here. He said, what's the title of your sermon? I thought, well, I don't really have one. He said, well, just what's it about? What do you want people to go away with? And I said, well, I want them to go away with this one thing. Obedience always comes before understanding. Obedience always comes before understanding. It kind of ties into what I was up here, you know, a few weeks ago. And see if you remember this. If I say I am not, you say what? My own. I was. Man, that makes the guy feel good. So today, the 4 points are this. What's the problem? What's the cure? What's the result? And what's the application? So as you look at this video, it'll take about 3.5 minutes or so. I want you to think about those things. Go ahead and play that if you could.
Naaman was the commander of the army of Aram. That's Syria. He was famous for winning battles, and he was a close friend of the king. One day, this warrior got very sick. His skin began to dry up, it turned white, and began to fall off. And he was losing some of his ability to feel things. Naaman had leprosy, a disease no doctor could cure. A young Israelite girl worked for Naaman's wife. She was a captive from one of Aram's raids against Israel. The girl now lived far away from home, among Israel's enemies. But she had not forgotten the great things God had done for Israel. Why doesn't my master Naaman go to ask the prophet in Israel to heal him? Elisha could ask God to cure the leprosy, she asked Naaman's wife. Naaman had seen every doctor in Aram. He tried every medicine. Nothing had worked. Elisha was his last hope. Naaman led several troops of Aramean soldiers to Israel. Wagons followed, loaded with treasure to pay for a miracle cure. What a strange sight this must have been. But Elisha didn't give Naaman any medicine. He sent his servant to tell Naaman to go wash himself, not just anywhere, but in the Jordan River, which flowed nearby. Naaman was frustrated. Elisha hadn't even talked to him. He had expected Elisha to ask the God of Israel to do something big. But all he had been told to do was to dip himself in a dirty river? Not once, but seven times? He was ready to go home. If he was going to wash himself, he would do it at home. The rivers near his home ran fast and clear. The Jordan was a muddy stream, not much wider than a camel path. Fortunately, one of Naaman's servants stopped him. If Elisha had asked you to do something big, would you have done it? Well, of course I would, Naaman thought. He had conquered entire countries. There was no big thing he couldn't do, except to heal himself. The servant continued, "Then what is so hard about doing such a little thing?" Naaman thought about it. Then he made up his mind. He would do what God's prophet said. He went to the Jordan River. Six times he lowered himself into the water. Nothing happened. As he rose from the water a seventh time, something had changed. His pale, dry skin was gone. He was covered with the soft, healthy skin of a young man. Not only was he changed outside, Naaman had also changed inside. "I know that the God of Israel is the only true God," he said. Only the love of God could make a captive servant girl be kind to her captors. Only the power of God could work miracles through the prophet Elisha. Only God's grace could heal a foreign warrior of his sickness. God wants to give his gifts of grace to everyone, including you.
All right. Well, those are the verses that we'll be looking at today. We've got the 4 points up here. We'll start with what's the problem? What's the problem? Well, the problem for Naaman is that he has leprosy. We're going to be looking today at the correlation between leprosy and sin. Sin for an unbeliever. And then we're going to be looking, and if we get all the way through that, you think, well, there's nothing there for me. Well, then the last point, we'll get something for you. Okay? But Naaman had leprosy, and many times in the Bible, leprosy correlates with sin. Leprosy is a very, very troubling disease, I guess. Have any of you ever seen someone with leprosy? Raise your hand if you have. A few of you have. Okay? Leprosy, the kind of leprosy that Naaman has is a little bit different than the leprosy that we know of today. The leprosy we know of today is called Hansen's disease. And I've been to India a couple of times and have visited the leper colonies. Deacon's been there. Trina's been there. I think Brandon, maybe a couple of others. Rihanna has been to the leper colony. And there's some things about the leper colony that are really eye-opening if you've never been there. But this thing that Naaman has is a little bit different. I want to kind of describe the kind of leprosy that he had. Was a leprosy that affected his skin of his body. Obviously, in the video you see where white scales, some boils or rash, and it was a disease that slowly covered the body. And during this time, it says over in Leviticus, you can read about leprosy in Leviticus chapter 13 and 14. It tells you some of the details of what leprosy is and the process they go through of declaring somebody clean and unclean. And leprosy, until it covers your entire body, they don't declare you clean. Now, that doesn't mean that, that seems a little odd, doesn't it? But what happened with Naaman is he went to the priest. I guess it was a priest that knew something about diseases. And listen, I'm speaking about something I really don't know much about. It's just what I've read and seen. But they would start covering their body. They would declare them unclean, and they wouldn't let them go out in public. And then once their bodies got covered with it, then they didn't think that they were infectious to anybody else, and they would declare them clean, and they could go back out. Okay, so obviously it's not the same leprosy as we have today, because Naaman was a warrior. Okay, he was fighting battles. He was a general. He was a tough guy. He was a man's man. And he was pretty troubled by this thing of leprosy. Obviously, it probably bothered him. It made him look unclean. It made him look probably not as strong and virtuous as he would like to have looked. But anyhow, he had it. It's not desirable that anybody should have leprosy, but Naaman had it. The leper colonies, on the other hand, the kind of leprosy that we have seen, affects the nervous system, and they begin losing their fingers and toes, and they don't have any feeling in their hands, and it affects all their extremities. And to the fact that they not only lose their fingers and toes, but they don't have any feeling in them. They lose their sense of hot and cold, any kind of touch. And so leprosy, needless to say, is a very, very ugly disease. It's very ugly. Naaman had it, and he wasn't necessarily shunned by his society, but today lepers are shunned by their society. Okay, they suffer pain, they suffer loneliness, they suffer rejection. If you don't believe me, go to India, go to the leper colony. My family and I, we're going there next month, and my boys are like, I don't want to go there. it's not contagious to you. You can't shake their hand and come home with leprosy. So I've shook their hands and hugged them, and they don't smell very good, but I'm not going to come home with leprosy. But anyway, they suffer, and their society doesn't want them. In India, they're considered just the scum of the earth. They're really not even considered people. They don't count in the population. And by the way, neither do the Dalits in India. A Hindu can look at those, an upper-class Hindu, look at those Dalits and say, I don't see a person there. And it's hard, but that's the truth because of the caste system. But you know, real lepers and real sinners are the same way. Okay, an unbeliever has sinned. Okay, now I may not be speaking to most of you here today, but there's a few of you maybe that may have never believed. You'd never come to Christ. But an unbeliever has this thing called sin in his life. It's ugly. It's infectious. It grows. It disables. It ultimately kills physically, and it kills spiritually. Unforgiven sinners are shunned by God. A direct correlation between the shunning of a leper with the people that they're around. The difference is, after death, what happens to those that are unforgiven? They're sent to a real place called hell. And they're sent there, separated from God. They'll be lonely, suffer pain and rejection for eternity. So, a very good relationship between Naaman's leprosy and an unbeliever who has sin. Let's go to the second one. What's the cure? This is where the story gets a little funny, I think. Obedience always comes before understanding. I was going to have you say that with me, but I didn't want to get in the same rut as I got the last time. So, obedience always comes before understanding. That's what I want you to go away with today. What did he tell him to do? He said, go dip in the Jordan 7 times. Well, that seems simple enough. I mean, if you had a disease today, you went to the doctor and he said, hey, go down the Palm de Terre River and dip 7 times and you'll be healed. You know, no doctor's copay, no insurance problems. I guarantee you, people in Polk County would be down there dipping in the Palm de Terre River to get what they need. Well, that's what they asked. That's what Elijah or Naaman was told to do, is go dip 7 times in the Jordan River. Naaman hates this. He hates it. And think about what happened. Okay, he's gone to the king because he thought the king could heal him. The king didn't heal him. He was told to go to Elisha. He gets to Elisha, and what did he have? He had his horses and chariots, and you know, had all of his armor on. He wore everything over there. He was a tough guy. But man, he was hurting because he couldn't do anything about this leprosy. you know, the servant of Naaman comes out, the servant of Elisha comes out. He doesn't even get to see Elisha. Oh, he is upset about that. Okay, here is the Syrian general comes to Elisha's house and he doesn't even come out. He sends his servant out and says, hey, go down to Jordan and dip seven times like it's no big deal. He wanted Elisha to perform a great show, didn't he? He wanted Elisha to come out and perform some big ceremony and, you know, touch him and heal him in front of all these people. And that wasn't the instruction, was it? The instruction was what? Go dip in the Jordan seven times. That's all it takes. You know, and Naaman had excuses. Well, what about Abana, the river Abana down where I live? What about Parfar? They're beautiful and clean. The waters are pure. And how about if I go down there and dip? Well, isn't there another way, Elisha? Isn't there another way? Is there another way? No, there's not. Your job, Naaman, is to go and dip in the Jordan seven times. Well, look how that compares to Christianity today. For the unbeliever, the Bible clearly tells us how to be saved, doesn't it? He said there's one way. Just like he told Naaman there was one way to be healed of his leprosy, Jesus has told us there's one way to be saved. If you look over at Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 5:8, God showed his love for us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In 1 John 5:11 and 12, this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life. This life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life, and whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. It's pretty plain. It's pretty simple. Our society doesn't buy into that, do they? They've watered it down. But listen, I'm here to tell you that God is going to punish sin. He has to. Whether we like it or not, he is going to punish sin. Unbelievers have to be let known that they are a sinner. You know, we have a problem with this. I have a problem with this sometimes, that we want to try to love people to Christ. Don't be offended by that statement. But listen, a sinner's not going to come to Christ unless they know they need a Savior. We have to be telling people, helping them realize that they are a sinner in need of a Savior. I can sit here all day and tell you what a great deal it is to be a Christian. But listen, that's not going to help most people. Because obedience always comes before understanding. I can see everything now that I'm on the Christian side of it. Now that I've believed, I can see. Those who haven't believed can't see. They're blind. That's why obedience is so important. If you don't know you're sick, you sure don't go to a doctor, do you? I want to compare this to something. This, I don't want to tug on the heartstrings of too many people, because stage 4 cancer is a real issue. If you have stage 4 cancer, and many of you may have gone through that, some of you may be going through it now, you may have family members that are involved with it now, and if you don't, you probably are going to at some point in your future. Stage 4 cancer is as serious to the physical body as people who have stage 4 sin disease. Okay? That's what I'm going to call it. If you have never come to Christ, if you have never believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, you have stage 4 sin disease. You are going to die. I don't know when. When you have stage 4 cancer, sometimes they give you a year, a month, a week, a day. They don't know, do they? Listen, I don't know when you're going to die. I do know that when you have stage 4 sin disease, that there is a cure to it. God's perfect. He can't look upon sin, can he? He won't look upon sin. He's perfect. He's holy. Most people don't even realize what they need to be saved from. if somebody doesn't realize that they need to be saved from their own sin, why would they come to Jesus? You know, they look at Christianity and think, well, those people are this or that or whatever. Hopefully they look at us and say, well, we love one another. We obey His commands. I hope that's what we're distributing through our lives. But listen, if they don't know or understand what they need to be saved from, they're not going to come to Christ. They have to know. And if you're here today and you don't know Christ, I'm going to tell you, you have a sin problem. You have something that you can't do anything about. Only Jesus can. And until you receive Him as Lord and Savior, you're going to have stage 4 sin disease. I had a friend. He's still a friend. I know him very well. Probably would. He's not a Christian. And here a while back, it's probably been a year or so ago, I just felt like the Lord wanted me to go and talk to him about his salvation. And I went to him, sat down in his office, and began to talk with him. Say, hey, man, I got something I want to share with you. And, of course, this guy would make a really good Christian, by the way. I mean, he's one of the most giving people I know, takes care of his customers, he's a business guy, and would make an outstanding Christian. But he's not. He's a long way from it. And I went over in his office, to make a long story short, we began talking. And I asked him a few questions and told him what I wanted to share with him. And he said, you know, I'm going to be okay. He said, I've done some pretty good things. And he said, Dwayne, I really don't want to talk about this because I think I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be in control of this. And when I die, I'm just taking a chance. And I went back and I said, have you ever lied? Yeah. Well, what's that make you? Liar. Have you ever stolen anything? Even when you're a little kid? Well, yeah, I have. Well, what's that make you? Thief. Well, have you ever killed anybody? No, I haven't. And I said, well, you see, that's the problem. God's standards are much higher than what ours are. Because the Bible says if you hated somebody in your heart, you've what? You've killed them. I said, so you've told me that you're a lying, thieving murderer, and you still think you can get by. He said, well, I think so. I said, do you realize that God has to judge that? Because He can't look upon sin. He has to judge that. And He's either going to look at you and judge your sin and cast you out from His presence for eternity, or He's going to see that you have a relationship and that your blood is covered by Jesus. He said, Dwayne, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be okay. I'd encourage you to pray for him today because he still doesn't know. And I love the guy. But I tried to show him what his sin was. And hopefully the Lord will take that and sow it. So that story doesn't end well at this point, but I sure hope that it will in the near future. God's given us one way to be saved. Just like Naaman, He gave him one way to be healed. Okay? There are no other options, folks. And let's go through some of them. Buddha is not the answer. Allah, mice, rats. Why do you mention those? Because that's what the Hindus worship. You understand that, don't you? They bow down to the mouse and the rats. I've seen it. Okay? Statues, parents, children, church, Joseph Smith, Mary, atheism. All atheism is self-worship. You know that, don't you? If you don't believe there's a God, it's just self-worship. That's all it is. It's selfishness. It's pride. It's you being, you think your works can get you in. This friend of mine that I'm telling you about, what's he counting on? He's counting on his good deeds, his good works to get him in. And I just plain, it's not going to happen. And it's not going to happen for you. God has specifically said that there is one way that a person is saved, and that's through Jesus Christ and His blood. Just because you believe something doesn't make it true. You can believe till the cows come home that your works are going to get you into heaven. But at the end of the day, it doesn't work. Because why? The standard, this is the standard. This is our source of truth. It's never been proven wrong. It's never going to be proven wrong. It's absolute truth. So when we go back to that, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. That's it. Go dip 7 times in the Jordan, Naaman. It's the only way that you're going to be healed. If you want to be saved, you need to repent, you need to confess your sin, and come to Jesus and make him your boss. That's what he said. So what's the result? What's the result? Well, it's pretty obvious, isn't it? Naaman was healed of his leprosy when he went and he dipped in the Jordan 7 times. He was healed. And not only was he healed, but if you go look at the scripture, it said he was healed and he was made clean. So not only did he not have leprosy, but his body, he was restored to the flesh of a young man. Okay? He was completely healed. He was completely clean. He had understanding, didn't he? Obedience always comes before understanding. After he was healed in verse 15, you can look over there and see, no other God than your God of Israel. That's what he said. He said, there's no other God except your God. He proclaimed the very thing that he needed to proclaim to be healed. Well, he didn't have to do that to be healed. He's already healed, but that's what he did as a result of being healed. For the unbeliever, see, what you're struggling with today if you're an unbeliever is you don't understand. You don't understand anything about Christianity. You read the Bible, it doesn't make sense. You don't want to read the Bible because you don't want it to make sense. The people that you're around every day on a regular basis, your friends, people who don't know Christ, they have no desire to know God. You understand that, don't you? Okay, there's nothing within a man that desires to know God. Okay? But it's your job to tell them. It's your job to help them understand that they are a sinner in need of a Savior. Okay? And so, the result is, when a person comes to Christ, their sin is forgiven, they are set free, they have eternity in heaven, Jesus is their boss, and they begin to have understanding about what the Word says. They understand what it says. They understand. They don't know, have complete understanding, but it sure makes a whole lot more sense than it did. And why is that? Because the Holy Spirit lives in that person. They read the Bible. They understand it. They see things differently. They act differently. They think differently because the Spirit lives inside of them. All right. The last thing. What is the application for believers? So most say, well, okay, good, I made it through that part. I understand that. But there's lots of parts, there's more parts of this story than we're ever going to get to today. But I want to mention 2 other people in this story that they didn't mention much of. They did mention something about them. But for you as a believer, what do you play in this story? We say, well, Dwayne, I've received Christ. I share the gospel with people. I understand what I need to be doing. But good word, but doesn't really mean much to me because I'm already doing those things. Hopefully you are saying that. But what's the application? Look at the orphan girl. Be an orphan girl. Okay? The orphan girl was an Israelite. She'd been captured by the Syrians. And she was living where? She was living in the enemy's house. She was living in the home of Naaman and his wife. She was the only person to step up and say to her stepmom, whatever you want, her capturee mom, I don't know. But she stepped up and said, listen, if you would take Naaman to this guy in Samaria, he can heal Naaman of his leprosy. I don't understand why she stepped up. But be an orphan girl. She knew the answer. Wasn't God told us to love our enemies, didn't he? She's loving her enemy. She's telling him how he can get his leprosy healed. And it ends up happening, doesn't it? Are you telling people about Jesus? Just like the orphan girl told her enemies about how Elisha could be healed. If you could just get Elisha, or if you could just get Naaman over to Elisha, he could be healed. You know what? If we can just help people understand that they need Jesus, they can be healed. Isn't that why we're living? I sure hope that's why we're living. Secondly, you could be like the servants of Naaman. They went with him to the house, to Elisha's house. They saw everything that transpired. They saw Naaman's reaction to what the servant came out and said, go dip in the Jordan. And these guys are, you know, I like these guys. These guys, they're almost going, man, Naaman, that's simple. He said, just go dip 7 times. Why are you struggling with this? You know what I mean? It's simple. We know the water's muddy, but who cares? I mean, that's all he told you to do. He didn't ask you to go and conquer another land. Because if he would have, what would he have done? He would have been, oh yeah, I mean, I can do that. But he asked him to go and dip in the Jordan 7 times. Folks, Jesus is just asking you as an unbeliever to come, confess your sin, repent, turn away, and receive Christ. That's what he's asking. It's very simple. But you know, these servants, they encouraged to Naaman to do what was right, didn't they? Without, I wonder what Naaman would have done had these couple of guys not stepped up and said, come on, man, it's easy. It's just dipping 7 times, and what have you got to lose? You know, go down there and try it. I mean, if you get a little muddy, you can go dip in your river and wash yourself off. I mean, if it doesn't work. But encourage others to follow Christ. Encourage them. Encourage them that there is only one way. What did Naaman's servants do? They encouraged him to do it the way Elisha's servant had told him, correct? They didn't say, hey, you know what? Hey, why don't you go down to those clean rivers and try it? And if it doesn't work, then we'll go back and see if there's another way. No, they just said, go dip in the Jordan 7 times. You don't have to agree with people when you know they're wrong. You know, the servants could have agreed with Naaman, couldn't they? They could have said something that was a lot nicer than just go do what he said. They could have candy-coated the one way of finding the truth. They could have done that, but they didn't. They encouraged him to do what was right. So tell people the truth. Be an encourager. Tell them the truth. Because obedience always comes before understanding. Obedience always comes before understanding. If you're here today and you don't know Christ, Andy and I will be here at the front. We want to talk to you. We're not just going to love you back to Jesus. We'll help you understand that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. You have stage 4 sin disease that you're going to die from. And you're going to be separated from God for an eternity unless you change it. There's one way. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. That's what he's asking from you. Naaman dipped, he was healed. You can come to Jesus and you can be healed of your disease today. If you're a believer, be ready to give an answer. Be an encourager. Be an orphan girl. Tell them the truth. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for these important passages that you've put in the Bible. Thank you for the correlation for us today that we can see between sin and leprosy. Thank you, Father, for coming to die on the cross for our sins. And I pray today that there's someone sitting in these pews, these seats today, that you would convict their hearts, that you would help them to understand that they are a sinner in need of a Savior, in desperate need. I pray, Father, that you would give them the boldness to come today. And for those of us who have passed from death to life in Christ, I pray that you would help us to be encouragers, help us to tell the truth, help us to be obedient as the orphan girl to those that you interrupt our lives with. Lord, it's in your name.